As you take your seats, please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50, the 50th chapter of Genesis. My plan is not to be too long before you this morning, but there is a word of the Lord for our families today. Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 14. He made a way for me, y'all. Hallelujah. Don't know how he did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody remember that time? Didn't know how you was going to get out. Didn't know if you were going to get out. But somehow, some way, you made it. Hallelujah. And you're standing here today not because you've been faithful. Oh, ma'am. You're standing here today because he has been faithful. Aren't you glad that the faithfulness of God does not depend upon the faithfulness of man? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 14. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him, they said. So they sent a message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Verse 21, no, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to be in your house today. God, we thank you for your word that you have put in order to leave a record for us so that we can understand who you are and who you created us to be. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It gives us instruction and information and inspiration. But there are so many things in our world, God, that tries to choke the word so that we cannot receive the word. I pray, God, today that you would remove every hindrance, whether it's internal or external, that will keep us from receiving what you have for us today. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word today so that nothing is wasted, but all of it falls on good ground and that it produces much fruit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands for Jesus one more time? We are excited to recognize families on today. I believe that family is the cornerstone of every society. Family is so important. I've told you this before, but I'll say it again, that the health of a society depends upon the health of the family. That whatever is happening in the world, it starts in the family. Our government is sick because we have people who were raised in unhealthy families that didn't get healed. So all they know is dysfunction. We look at what's happening in many of our communities, and the solution to the problem is not outside of the family. The solution to the problem is in the family. Family is so important to God that he organized his church as a family. When he got ready to reveal himself to the world, what did he do? He chose a family to reveal himself to the world. And because God chooses family, Satan hates family because Satan hates everything that God loves. Let me tell you, if God loves it, he's against it. And that's why he's against you, because God loves you. He is fighting you not because you are so special, but he fights you because you are the apple of God's eye, and he doesn't like anything that gives God pleasure. So God uses family to give us protection, provision, and purpose. Let me say that again. God uses family to give us protection, provision, and purpose. Family gives us protection because if you come after one of us, you have to come after all of us. You don't sneak up on one and not deal with the consequences of us all. Family gives us provision because what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. And if I have a little bit and I put it to your little bit, we have just enough to make it through. And then family gives us purpose. Family tells us who we are and what we are about. And so Satan would do anything to separate us from our families, to destroy our families. So we're outside of provision, outside of protection, and we don't know who our purpose is. Listen, anybody going through the world disconnected from family, you are unprotected, you are uncared for, and you have no purpose. That's why the adversary can manipulate you and convince you to believe that you're something that you're not, because you don't have somebody in the family saying, wait a minute, that's not who we are. That's not how we behave. That's not what we believe. That's not how we conduct ourselves. But families are not perfect. I think every family has one degree or another of dysfunction. And can I tell you something without offending you? That if you think there's no dysfunction in your family, you're probably the most dysfunctional person in the family. I'm just saying. Huh? If you think your family is perfect, you're probably the most imperfect person in the family. Isn't it funny that some of the people who have the biggest problems think they have no problems? The person who is way off always thinks they're right on target. In the text today, we find a man by the name of Joseph, who was anointed by God, gifted by God. God gave him the gift of being able to interpret dreams. God used him to save all of Egypt and Israel. But Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. Real quick, so don't use the family that you came from as an excuse not to do what God has called you to do. That was extra. Here is his dysfunction. First of all, he was born into a family where his father had four wives at the same time. Now, in those days, it was permissible, but it always caused a conflict. in no example of the patriarchs who had more than one wife, none of them had that with ease. There was always conflict somewhere. It's always the conflict when you have more than one. Second of all, his mother was barren. God opened up her womb, and when she had her son, she called his name Joseph. Well, what's dysfunctional about that? The name Joseph means may God add more. In other words, Joseph, you are not enough. Imagine being raised by a mother who thinks that you are not enough. Mommy, look, I got straight A's. Not enough. Mommy, look, I cleaned my room. You're not enough. You have a mother who wants more than you. My mother only has one son, and she never, ever made me feel like I wasn't enough, like she had to keep on having children so she could get another one. I wish she would have. I would have loved a young brother, but that's neither here nor there. I got Tiffany, so it is what it is. But she never made me feel like I wasn't enough. Joseph's mother, every time she called his name, she was saying, not enough. Come in, not enough. Go outside, not enough. Not enough. His father, on the other hand, couldn't love him more. Loved him more than all of his children, and that caused his brothers to hate him. How the parent treats the children can cause the children to hate each other. He was born into a situation where his mother said, you're not enough, and his father said, you're all that I ever wanted. And it caused his brothers to hate him. And so his brothers sold him into slavery and then told his father that that boy that you love so much is dead. You see what the devil does? If you love it, he wants to kill it and make you think it is dead. Oh, what you gonna do now that your pride and joy is dead? Many years later, when we get to this text, Joseph is in a position where he can pay back his brothers for all that they did to him. Have you ever been in a position where you could pay somebody back for what they did to you? Look at y'all looking at me all crazy. You had the opportunity to pay them back years later, and finally their resume came across your desk and you're the hiring. I'm not telling my testimony. Let me change the subject here. You have an opportunity. He had an opportunity. It is one thing to want to pay somebody back and never have the opportunity to do it. But what do you do when the very person who did you wrong, you are now in a position to pay them back for what they did? Oh, I'm gonna get you. Now here he is, the second in charge of Egypt. With the word of his mouth, he could have killed his brothers, their wives, and all of their children, and the country would have celebrated his decision. So I've been wrestling this week. Joseph, why didn't you pay them back? How is it? Now, your daddy's dead, so you wouldn't have broken his heart. Your mother said you're not enough, and we don't hear much about her anymore. How is it that you didn't take this opportunity? Can I tell you this? There is a cancer in our families that is threatening to destroy our families. Can I tell you this? We don't have to worry about the outside destroying our families. If our families are destroyed, it's going to come from within. Why? Because there's a cancer of unforgiveness in our families. Unforgiveness destroys families. The purpose of this message today is to break the curse of unforgiveness in our families. God knows I wanted to preach something to make you happy and celebrate and shout, but God said, no, no, no. This is the one chance I'm going to get to break this curse. And I said, okay, God, I work for you. I am not self-employed. I'm employed by him. So God is looking to break the curse of unforgiveness in our families. So when I look at the text, asked the text the question, how is it that Joseph was able to forgive his brothers and not pay them back? I discovered three things that he realized. The first thing he realized his position. Verse 12 says, don't be afraid of me. Some of your versions says, am I in the place of God? He says, don't be afraid of me. I am not God. He realized his position. Your position is the role that you have been assigned. Your position dictates your authority and your power. Your position tells you what you can and cannot do. So Joseph realized that he was not assigned the role of Avenger. He realized that he was not in a position to pay his brothers back. Why? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Hallelujah. Joseph realized, wait a minute, that is not my position. Listen, when you seek revenge, you are taking the place of God. And ask Lucifer what happens to those who'd like to take the place of God. We are not in the position. Listen, the guilty have no right to punish. The guilty have no right to seek revenge. The guilty has no right to put themselves in the position where they seek to pay somebody back. Listen, while you're looking to pay somebody back, somebody somewhere is looking to pay you back. Come on, somebody. We're not always the victim. We sit in church and act like we are the victim, but sometimes you are the one who is the offender. Oh. Why y'all so quiet? Sometimes you are the one that sells somebody up the river. Sometimes you are the one who is cruel. And if God gives us permission to punish each other, what kind of state will we be in? Listen, I don't care what my children do. One of them does not have position or power to punish the other ones. Come on, stay in your place. Know your position. Joseph says, yeah, I have power in the kingdom, but I don't have power to punish. Lord have mercy. He gave up the position to punish. He realized that only God has the right to set the record straight. And some of us find it difficult to forgive because we've put ourselves in a position that God has not placed us. He realized his position. Second thing, we find it in verse 20. In verse 20, we see that Joseph realized that God had a plan and he trusted God's plan. Look at verse 20, it says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You intended to harm me, but God meant it for good. Here's the thing. Joseph realized that what happened to him was a part of God's plan. Pause for a moment and acknowledge that whatever has happened to you is a part of God's plan. Now here, let me give you something that may stretch your faith a bit. Joseph realized that in one way or another, in some strange way, Joseph's brothers were doing the Lord's work. I feel the offense rising. Can you accept that your adversary, that person who did you wrong, was accomplishing God's plan for your life? Oh, see, it is hard to hold unforgiveness against somebody when you realize that if they did not do what they did to you, you wouldn't know what you know about God. How can I be angry at an adversary when if they didn't do what they did to me, I wouldn't have learned how to pray? Hallelujah. How can I be angry at somebody when because of what they did to me, I learned that God can heal your hurt and that he'll stick closer to you than the brother? Somehow, some way, Joseph realizes that what they had planned for him had nothing to do with what God had planned for them, and what they meant is nothing compared to what God meant. See, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Here's, I'm going to say this and move on. Joseph had to divorce himself from his pain and accept God's promise. Hear what I'm saying. Let's not pretend like Joseph wasn't in pain. Not being enough for your mother is painful. Being hated by your brothers is painful. Being sold into slavery is painful. When he got in there, he went to jail for things he didn't do. That was painful. To realize that your father thinks you are dead when you are very much alive, it's painful. But Joseph trusted God's plan more than he trusted his pain. Let me come down somebody's street this morning. Some of us have developed a relationship with our pain. We love our pain. We are married to our pain. Why? Because we've learned how to trust our pain more than we trust God's plan. What am I talking about? You trust your pain because your pain lets you know that what they did was wrong. You trust your pain because your pain lets you know that you're not out of your mind. What happened really happened and it's wrong. And so you hold on to your pain because you need confirmation that something wrong happened to you. But I'm telling you, if you trust your pain more than you trust God's plan, you'll never get delivered. You'll never get healed. How many times does God have to say, my plan is bigger than your pain, for you to finally file divorce payments? Listen, this pain is enough. I'm trying to help somebody. Stop allowing your pain to dictate the rest of your life. Can I tell you, it had to happen that way. You know you didn't start thinking about coming to church until the last offense. You know you didn't think about seeking God until you decided enough is enough. Joseph trusted God's plan more than he trusted his pain. What happens to us as children of God doesn't happen by accident. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Nothing happens to us by accident. Nobody can do anything to us unless God allows it. And if God allows it, he has a plan. He has a purpose. Joseph said, y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So Joseph was able to get to forgive because he realized his position. He trusted God's plan. And finally, he realized that he had a purpose. Verse 20 says, he brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. He realized that God had a purpose for him. And what he went through brought him to the position where he could save many lives. He went through what he went through so that somebody else could be saved. Come on, somebody. He went through what he went through so that many lives can be saved. All of us were created with a purpose. All of us were created with God had something in mind that he wanted us to accomplish. There's a problem that he wanted us to solve. There is an issue that he wanted us to resolve. There was somebody who needed something, and he created us for that purpose. And Joseph realized God's purpose for him. Joseph realized that God's plan for his pain was to put him in a position to preserve lives. Here. Nothing is wasted with God. I don't know who taught us this, but some time ago I heard that God puts us through things to see how much we can bear. Like he doesn't know how much we can bear. Listen, I don't need God to be testing to see how much I can bear. The God that I serve knows how much I can bear. Hallelujah. He's not playing to see how much can I throw at him before he breaks. Can I tell you again? Nothing is wasted. No experience that we go through is wasted. There's a purpose and a plan that is bigger than what we understand. Do not resent what you've been through. Everything you've gone through is a part of God's purpose for you. You cannot pursue your purpose and revenge at the same time. Joseph realized that his purpose was greater than anything that he has been through. You know what the problem with some of us? I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close this out. We don't know what our purpose is. We're still trying to figure out what our purpose is. And you know why? Some of us is because we keep rehearsing our past. We rehearse our pain over and over again. And I have discovered it is a waste of cognitive effort and emotional strength to sit at home and rehearse all the things that you've been through. You have a list of people in your mind and all that they have done to you. And listen, I realize that every moment I spend rehearsing all of the wrong that has been done, I am not spending time rehearsing the promise of God. Listen, because you cannot rehearse your pain and God's promise at the same time. And can I tell you that I'm in the process of divorcing myself from my pain and embracing the promise of God. Listen, God is greater than anything that you've ever been through. He's greater than the person who did the most pain to you. Come on, we in church, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Can nobody hurt you like family? Am I in the right church? Listen, family is the source of your greatest joy and your deepest pain. Come on, somebody. But somebody in the family has to stand up and say, enough is enough. I am breaking this curse off my family. Somebody has to be like Joseph and tell your brothers, I am not in the place of God. I'm going to take care of you and your children. I'm going to be good to you and your children. Somebody has to break the curse off of our families. Somebody got to push themselves. You can stand to your feet. I'm almost done. Somebody got to push themselves and say, I trust God's plan. Thank you. I trust God's plan, not my pain. I don't trust my pain. Listen, don't you trust your pain. Some of y'all have trusted your pain. Your pain is a liar. Your pain says it's never going to get better. It's never going to change. The devil is a liar. I am here today to declare that our family legacies are changing. Today, we're not passing down unforgiveness and resentment, animosity, and secrets to the next generation. Come on, somebody. God wants to break that today. Last thing that Joseph said to his brothers, he says, don't be afraid. I'll take care of you and your children. Joseph said, listen, his brothers got nervous because Joseph's father is dead. And they thought that Joseph was going to take this opportunity to pay them back. Y'all know how it is in our families sometimes when the patriarch or the matriarch of the family dies and the family falls apart. All the stuff you ever wanted to say, all of a sudden you say it at the repast. Now we got to fight at the repast. Grandma's gone and we acting like fools. Joseph said, not in this family. Come on, somebody. We're breaking that curse off of our families today. That we will continue to be good to each other no matter who is here, no matter who is gone, no matter what happened in the past. We are not in the place of God. God spoke to me. I was at Lake Elmo Park this morning walking, and God said, listen, if you take care of the people who offended you, that means I'm not taking care of them. And then he said, who you think is better at handling those who mishandled you? You or me? I said, you, God. Then he spoke to me. He said, don't I handle you when you do wrong? What makes you think that I'm not handling them? Just because they're not saying anything to you. Guess what, Timmy? He said, they don't owe you anything. They sinned against me. Hallelujah. They offended me. And I said, God, I was wrong for putting myself in your place. Like they did something to me. David said, God, against thee only have I sinned. I said, oh man, I'm worried about something that's not even my problem. Last word. Offense is a choice. I'm going to deliver somebody at this moment right here. When somebody says something to you or does something to you, you have the power to choose not to be offended. See how the devil manipulates you? Oh, I'm offended. I can't go back to that church because they offended me. I'm not going to the family reunion because they offended me. Listen, the Bible says, they shall know thy law and nothing shall offend them. Oh, if I know who I am in God, what you say about me can't offend me. What do we used to say when we were kids? I'm rubber, you're glue. What you say to me bounces off of me and sticks to you. Y'all never heard that? I want to free you. Can I tell you? You can live the rest of your life and never be offended. Never be offended. He said, I'll keep you in perfect peace. You keep your mind stayed on me. Yeah. We keep our mind stayed on them and what they did and what they said. And guess what? It robs us of our peace. I'm choosing peace today. I'm going to try his word. I'm going to love his law and see if I will be offended. You want to live a life without offense? Understand your position. understand God's plan, and understand your purpose, and nothing will offend you. You can be good to people who are currently being wrong to you. See, sometimes we wait until they come back and repent, say they're sorry. We put them on a probationary period. If they survive the probationary period, then we welcome them back in. But when we come to God, the moment we repent, we want complete and full restoration. And I'm glad that's how He works. That's how He works every time. With God, it doesn't matter how long you have been gone or what you did wrong. The Bible said to Israel that the moment they returned, He received them. 50 years, 60 years, 400 years of disobedience, they turned and instantly they were received back. Don't you want to live that way? Listen, I'm telling what I know. Holding on to resentment will cause you physical harm. It'll mess up your immune system, your digestive system, all the systems that are created in our body. And science is telling us for sure that people who don't forgive are more likely to have heart problems and strokes and digestive problems. The Bible didn't say that. Science says it, for those who don't believe the Bible. So when God says forgive, it's not for their benefit, it's for your benefit. Come on, somebody. Let's kill this cancer in our families today. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. You have to sit in that and say, I don't see it, but I know that all of it is working for my good. Would you grab your neighbor's hand so we can pray? I'm so glad that God doesn't put limits on love. I'm so glad that God doesn't put a time limit on how much we can do and then come back and receive forgiveness. I'm glad that with God, the moment we return to Him, He returns to us. Let's be that to our family and our friends. Lord Jesus, this morning we thank You that You have allowed us to come together. We thank You, God, that You have brought us many different families from different perspectives and experiences, but God, You have brought us all together, and we thank You that You include us in Your family. And all we look different and we feel different and we think differently, God, I thank You that through the blood of Jesus we are all a part of Your family, that we are one family this morning in Christ Jesus. And I thank You, God, that the legacy of our family is love and forgiveness and peace. I pray, God, that in our natural families and friendship, that the curse of unforgiveness will be broken in the name of Jesus. That the thing that grandmother couldn't forgive and auntie and uncle couldn't forgive and brother and sister couldn't forgive, that issue is broken this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. That the legacy of hurt and pain and resentment is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. We cancel the legacy of pain and abuse in the name of Jesus Christ. We divorce ourselves from our past and our pain. We no longer trust our pain, but we trust Your plan, God. It all works together for the good. You're working something good in our family. God, we pray, and we know that as You work the good in Joseph's family, that You're working good in our family, that nothing our families have been through has been wasted and without purpose, but You have a purpose and a plan for every experience. And so we trust Your purpose, we trust Your plan, and we thank You in advance for what You're doing. In the name of Jesus, everyone in this room right now, God, I pray that You would touch their hearts. Oh God, yes, God. I pray in this room right now that you would remove the offense, God, in the name of Jesus, that from this day forward, they never know what it's like to be offended. In the name of Jesus, that they don't receive offense, God, but they receive peace in the name of Jesus. God, there's somebody in this room right now, pray saints, there's somebody in this room who wants to let go, but they can't let go. Even in this message, they've been rehearsing what they went through and said, but pastor, you don't know how bad it was, you don't know how long it lasted, but I'm telling you, my sister, God knows. God has a plan. He was there all the time. Alcohol can't ease your pain. Drugs can't ease your pain. Another relationship can't ease your pain. The healer of pain is in the room. Jehovah Roha is in the room today, and he wants to heal you, so you leave here today not offended anymore. Don't be offended. Why should you be offended when you can be free? Why should you be offended when you can have peace and joy? God, release a spirit of forgiveness in this room. In the name of Jesus, release a spirit of peace in this room. Help us to realize our position. Help us to trust your plan. Help us to seek your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you clap your hands for freedom? Hallelujah.